Well, it is time now for PMC Live. KFSK News and the Petersburg Medical Center hold a monthly radio show which focuses on different departments, new programs or initiatives that are happening at the medical center. PMC Live's live airs after the Midday Magazine on the first Thursday of every month. So I'm joined in the studio now by Medical Center's CEO, Phil Hofstetter, along with Liz Bacom, who wears many different hats at PMC. But today, I think you're here with the PMC Foundation as a board member. And then also Carolyn Kernvick, who just completed the nursing program at the medical center.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Everybody's mics are in order and working condition?
I don't know.
Yes. Okay. I hear you.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Great. Yeah. Excellent. Okay, so today I think we're going to talk about PMC Foundation, and I'm going to check with you on what that means and why the medical center has a foundation and, you know, the fundraising that goes along with that. And I think we'll announce a raffle winner too, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Can we do that later?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Sure. I also wanted to just check in on general updates at the medical center since we have you here with us.
Yeah.
What's new?
There seems like there's always something going on at the hospital. Liz, what is new?
Well, we had that gentleman from the architect firm come. That
We had a master planning, which is moving along very well, to look at the existing facility, to the structural analysis, inundation study, and project management from the firm NAC Architecture came up. Dan Jardine, and he put on a presentation at the Assembly Chambers to provide an update. It's an opportunity for a forum with the community, sort of hopefully the first of many where the community can come and meet the project manager in that firm and to talk about, you know, what does it mean for what should we do with the existing facility, if anything at all, and what does it mean structurally, and what are sort of recommendations from a professional standpoint?
Yeah, we're still in the study phase, right? Just kind of researching what the options might be,
right.
What the science says about the existing structure.
Right. The existing structure is was something that needed to be done. There's been a lot of work that has been done in the past 7-8 years. Where they had some studies done on the facility itself. We added on the structural engineering piece of it, and we also added on inundation, which means, like, what does it mean if there's a tsunami, you know, the tsunami line, you know, those flood zones, those kinds of things. And really the, you know, and those are all on our website available for public to review as well. So
I noticed that. Nice links there. You can look at old studies that have been done. Like you say, it's been talked about for a number of years. So you can look at old assessments that have been done on the structure.
There was a really comprehensive 2015 facility assessment done. And even at that time, many major components are end of life or, a lot of the code and safety are outdated. For example, if you were to renovate the existing structure, then all of a sudden you can't have the standards and safety from the era that it was installed. As soon as you break a wall or renovate, you have to go to the newer standards, which becomes a real challenge because the cost of that to get to those standards almost ends up being the same or a wash if you're going to build a new facility versus a renovation, you know. So those are all things that the master planning is going to be reviewing and looking at.
Now, whether there was a new hospital or renovation of the existing one, that's years down the road. I mean, the process would take years through the planning and then actual construction time. So it's not like PMC stalls out and doesn't do anything new during these years. I mean, I just heard that there was improvements at the long-term care's solarium.
The solarium, correct.
Yeah,
you can't. So it is a catch-22. It's not, you know, even if funding dropped out of the sky tomorrow and it was like, hey, let's put a new building here, you know, it takes a while to construct something. It takes a while to move into something like that. And in the meantime, you still have to operate to existing standards, and that means maintenance and upkeep and compliance and all those things that are required with healthcare. It's certainly a challenge. I mean, the facility is aging. We don't, you know, we don't just say that, there's pipes that are, crumbling, there's things that, that keep me up at night, relative to the facility. We're really lucky to have staff that, can keep things running and run things smoothly, but it is ticking, and that could be 5 years, and we do have, it takes about that long to figure out, number one, what are you going to do? Where are you going to do it? And what is it that the community and what we can afford to do? And that doesn't necessarily mean, reaching into taxpayer. I mean, there's funding opportunity. There's ways that the cost structure of a facility when you have a new building, the cost of that doesn't necessarily come from the community. There's different ways to do that. And that's part of the master planning, is a market analysis and a financial feasibility is part of the whole master planning process to see, if we build the facility, what would it look like? What's the square footage? What could we afford given the existing financial status?
How it could be paid for.
Right, exactly. How can it be paid for? Yeah. So I think there's still a lot we need to do with community outreach, community education, opportunity for the community to talk about it. I know it can be a hot button topic out there, but we can't just like put our heads under the cover. It's not something that you can just avoid in one day. It's something catastrophic is going to happen, and that's definitely something. It could be 5 years from now. It could be seven, but at some point we need to do something.
So what did happen with the long-term care solarium?
Oh, yeah. So it was just it's cosmetic.
Heard it looks nice, but I haven't seen it myself.
So. Yeah, so the structure, I don't know.
The fascia outside of the underneath the glass of the solarium with the skin was peeling off. Yeah. And so it was the bones underneath were exposed and it just it wasn't structurally unsound, but it was.
If you actually look at the face of the hospital, it looks like cement, but it's not. It's like I don't know the exact name of it. Mike knows, but it's kind of like a stucco, water was going down those windows and getting into there for years and years and years. And it was eroding on the inside and it just became, it was like flapping in the wind practically. So what we did was we just, secured somebody locally to, put some, wood around it to make it look nice. And that's really get off all the bad parts. Clean it up, insulate it, and then put some wood around it, and it looks nice. Yeah.
I'm sure it's identified as a important piece of the long-term care facility. I've been in it. It's been a while, but it was a nice kind of well-lit, warm area that people could go into, and there were some plants and stuff in there.
Yeah, we do our daily briefings in there every morning too. So
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, would you like to talk about the foundation? There's a raffle winner to announce. And then also, I just kind of have some basic questions about PMC Foundation. It's not PMC exactly. It's like a nonprofit arm of PMC. How would you describe it, Liz?
Go ahead, Liz.
Yeah, we're a separate entity. It's a fund of donations, and the money is distributed to different activities that the foundation feels is important. The foundation board consists of three community members, a hospital board member, an employee, and then we have a foundation administrator is Kelsey, and the CEO is on there. And then we have guests that come and, talk about their needs or requests. And the foundation looks at the long-term care and the activities in long-term care. There's a fund that's for the birds that are in long-term care so that those birds are well taken care of. And we also have a medevac fund. And the medevac fund is really important. We get folks that get shipped out for higher level of care, either to just as close as Juneau or all the way down to Seattle or up to Anchorage. And it's an abrupt situation that they have to leave immediately. They may not have cash. They may not have, I know when my son got medevaced out, I took my credit card with me, but there was no place to use it. I didn't have enough cash with me, so it was like, oh. At that time, Starbucks didn't even take
credit cards. Could you believe that? That was how long ago it was. But we give $100 to the family so that they can, when they get to the hospital, they can take care of things immediately. And sometimes folks pay it back to us and otherwise. But it's really a nice, you know, it's a very stressful time to be involved in a medevac. And it helps a little bit, lets them know we care and that, you know, it's a good feeling to be able to help people out there. So there's the Medevac Fund. And then academic, we have scholarships. So we have scholarships for the high school graduating seniors. They apply through the high school counseling office there. They submit applications for scholarships for going to college or trade school, leading towards something in healthcare, hopefully. That's what our goal is. And then we also have an academic fund for anybody pursuing advanced education. And they're mostly employees that apply for those. And then we have some former PHS students that have gone on and decided they want to go in healthcare. And so they have applied for scholarships as well. And we give out up to $5,000 a semester for two semesters so that it's capped. We've provided scholarships for med techs, x-ray nurses, finance. So there's all the whole area of the hospital, not just clinical. And it's a great way for us to, between the high school scholarships and the bigger scholarships for the employees, is to retain employees and be an employer of choice for people that are looking for jobs in healthcare, because it's a great community. It's a wonderful facility to work for and grow. And we want people to grow professionally too. So I took advantage of it. I was able to get some advanced training. So it brings skills to Petersburg that we wouldn't ordinarily be able to have here. And that allows our patients eventually to stay here instead of having to travel out. So our therapy's grown. It gives us a more well-rounded package of care that we can provide.
Sounds like the foundation helps fund a lot of different kinds of things, mm-hmm. scholarships, capital projects, and like you even mentioned, that very thoughtful Medevac mm-hmm. fund. I mean, I would never think of something like that in a time of emergency, to have cash on hand. So how do you feed the foundation? How does that money get generated? And there's fundraising events, right?
We've done a few over the years that have been really successful. The Paddle Battle has been consistently a good fundraiser for us, and that's usually in July. And this was the fifth, sixth year of doing the Paddle Battle. At my age, things run together. And it's just a lot of fun. I think we had to reschedule it once because of the really bad weather, just for safety. But this year we amped it up a little bit and sort of made it a more, not truly a competition, but gave bib numbers out and just made sure I think it's a fun, and you know, a lot of people can participate in one way or another. You don't have to get on the water to do that. So we have the Paddle Battle, and then we just did this. I can't hear you. I got my
health fair.
Okay, thank you. So the hospital does a health fair. The lab organizes that every other year, and we've got a health fair coming up. It's an even number of years, so this health fair coming up will be in the spring of 2020. And last year we donated $2,000 out of the money raised for the health fair towards education for the foundation, for scholarships, for the employees. So that's going to be a consistent contribution as well. And just, it sounds like a lot of money, but $5,000 for a nurse program for two semesters is $10,000. You can go through that really quick. And we've already, you had a class of four, Caroline, mm-hmm. and then we've got a class of four coming up. So that's, you know, $80,000.
How much does it cost to become a nurse, Carolyn?
Oh, boy.
Thousands of dollars.
Thousands of dollars.
Yeah, and it's a two-year program.
It is. Right? It's your associates. The nursing program is just getting your associates, the one through UAA. So it does add up, but the foundation definitely helps in helping further and continue this education.
And so we've had two RNs. One was brought in locally. She was in Angela. She was a Weber State graduate way back in early early 2000s. And so she got her associate's in RN. She just got her bachelor's, BSRN, and now she's going on to advancing. So I mean, she's a great example of how, you know, you take the talent you've got and you grow it here and they stay here. Mm-hmm. And what she's doing is she's involved in training new nurses and doing the CNA program. So it's just a win-win for everybody, especially for a community, because we're only as strong as our schools and our hospital. If you don't have those, you can't recruit people to Petersburg.
Well, recruiting locally seems like a good start to keep people, you know, Carolyn has family here and grew up here and maybe you could be a nurse here.
Absolutely.
Know, and help your neighbors and family. The foundation also has memberships, right?
Yes.
People can be part of the foundation.
Yes. And you can be an individual for $25 a year, or you can go all the way up and be lifetime for $1,000 one-time donation.
Oh, wow.
And so usually what happens is no matter if you're a lifetime or an annual, you know, if you get a little involved, you realize the value of the foundation and continue to contribute in other ways. So.
All right. Well, anything else you wanted to add about the foundation? Should we announce the raffle winner? Do you know who it is already?
We had a grateful donor. You know, a couple of things about just to mention some sponsors with both the Paddle Battle. I think Guardian, Medevac team or Lifelight, they sponsored T-shirts and they really helped us out on there. I want to recognize the Coast Guard. They had a boat that helped us with safety and they provided a briefing. They were amazing. It was really helpful this year in the Paddle Battle, because when we turned the corner around towards Sandy Beach, the wind was blowing and it was just nice to have their assistance along with our safety boats and some volunteers. And then who else?
Yeah, Alaska Airlines.
Alaska Airlines.
They donated two round trip tickets anywhere they fly for this raffle.
And that's what this raffle was about.
Yep.
We were really fortunate to have some availability for the mm-hmm. the two round trip tickets, and we were able to raise significant funding. Thanks a large part to Kelsey, who's in the corner over there just videoing, doesn't really want to talk, but you know, she has all the information. Liz here, we were very fortunate to have them really going and trying to sell some of the raffle tickets, and we do. We drew, and we have a winner.
And we'll Kelsey is handing over the envelope.
I think Carolyn should
to the CEO. Yeah. Okay, and you're handing it over to Carolyn Kernvick, who is going to announce the Alaska Airlines raffle winner.
So the PMC Foundation, the two Alaska Airlines round trip tickets go to Margaret Reddy.
All right.
Congratulations. How exciting.
Okay, Margaret, you're the winner. And that's two tickets. She gets two?
Yes, two round trip tickets.
Wow. Okay, excellent.
Sorry, wonderful. Kelsey.
And she has to take me because I sold her the ticket. I'm just putting it out there. So
it's part of the deal. And Carolyn, since you're here, there's a new wave, like you mentioned, there's a new wave of nurses going through the program. You know, what would you give them for advice going through the program? Like, how did it work for you?
Oh, I'd tell them to breathe. I don't know. No, I'm super excited for them. This will be a great opportunity. I feel like a lot of the bugs are worked out from the previous 2 years, and I'm very excited for them.
And then are you working at the medical center as a nurse now?
Not quite a nurse. I will be taking my NCLEX, which is kind of my nursing boards, in October. And then hopefully after that, crossing my fingers I pass, I'll end up working at PMC as a nurse.
Okay, excellent.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining me.
Thank you.
Is there anything you wanted to add?
No.
Did we miss anything? No.
Lots. All right. Appreciate your doing the show.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. And so I'd like to thank you for being part of PMC Live. Again, it's a monthly show that we do the first Thursday of every month following Midday Magazine. And if you miss some of the show, you can always listen to it online. We will be posting a link to it on our website, kfsk.org. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks.